I want to introduce you to Martha Manifield. She is an 82-year-old grandma and a resident of the state of Alabama.
You Martha Manifield?
I am.
Miss Manifield, we have a warrant for you.
A warrant?
Not paying your trash bill.
What? So you gonna handcuff me and take me to jail?
Yes, ma'am. I got to. Put you in these right quick, okay? Don't be in the front.
Ooh, wait.
I got to, okay?
You're not appreciating yourself. Arresting an 83-year-old.
I am so sorry, but the law is the law, Miss Manifield.
So one day she's going about her business. She hears a knock on the door. This 82-year-old woman was arrested for a $77 trash bill. They put her in handcuffs for the crime of, let me look at my notes here. Yeah, that's right. Not having money. If you heard the last episode and you said to yourself, yes, America's religion might be money, but there's a way for me to opt out. But I've got news for you. Money is our religion, and not having money will cost you a lot. Sometimes even your freedom. Everything around me.
Get the money, dollar, dollar bill, yo. Amos talks the dollar.
You certainly do not need to be rich, but you do need money to live in our society. And I literally mean to live. I don't exaggerate when I say we've monetized every single part of life. And by every single part of life, I mean the actual ability to breathe.
We've been dealing with some horrible air quality, from unhealthy to very unhealthy, and even in some locations, hazardous air quality.
Air quality in the U.S. is generally good, but I would say there are definitely some areas, both areas in terms of economic sector and areas in terms of geography, that could stand to be improved.
Between 2017 and 2019, about 4 in 10 Americans are estimated to have lived in counties with poor air quality.
It caused people to cough and wheeze, have shortness of breath.
So Harvard and other institutions have done countless studies on the air we breathe. And one study over 11 years looked at the data and the conclusion. Well, the poorer you are, the more toxic the air you breathe. So the poorer you are, the more likely, you know, the air you're breathing is killing you. And as you go higher in the income ladder, your air becomes cleaner. And by the way, it's getting worse as income inequality increases. The air quality is getting worse in poorer neighborhoods, and it's getting better for those who have more means. So much of your quality of life is determined by money.
It's about to cost more to fill up the shopping cart. Grocery retailers have been put on notice that another price hike is on the way.
Joining me now for more on this, President and CEO of Partnership for a Healthier America, Nancy Roman, is here. Nancy, thanks for joining me. Is there a sense of what's causing food insecurity in the U.S., and how does what you're seeing now compare to previous years?
Yes. Well, we've always had some food insecurity, sadly, not just in the United States, but around the world. And food insecurity is derivative of poverty.
If you have to feed a family on a tight budget, buying in bulk at a supermarket is usually the best option, but not one available to many poor people. Even if they had the cash on hand to buy weeks worth of food in one trip, how is someone who depends on public transportation supposed to get it home? On their lap in the bus?
Big food retailers, ones with enough purchasing power to offer low prices, are notorious for avoiding poor neighborhoods, and people who live in these so-called food deserts often lack the mobility to cruise around town bargain hunting. Instead, they're stuck with local convenience and corner stores whose prices are much higher. Or they rely on fast food, which can seem cheap in comparison, but is actually more expensive than cooking at home, to say nothing of the long-term health risks.
Higher income households you know, spend, you know, anywhere from 3 to 7% of your incomes on food, while those on the lower income spend about 30% of their income. But that doesn't even tell the whole story. Twice as many people have poor diets that are killing them on low income than on those who are doing a little bit better financially. Not having money is bad for your overall quality of life. Your health is impacted by money as well. If you look at the key things that tend to kill us in our society, you know, heart disease, diabetes, liver disease, all I need to know about you is how much money you make to determine how likely you are to have those diseases. Life expectancy can easily be predicted by, you guessed it, money.
As coronavirus rages through the South, it's hitting a vulnerable population especially hard. The poor with little access to health care and blue-collar workers who don't have the option to work from home.
So that's why I chose them. They were also really open, and COVID affected them in a really unique way. You maybe wouldn't have think of how COVID affects people living on the edge, but I'll just tell this little story. Nikki got COVID probably at work, and she needed to test negative to return to work. So she afforded the first at-home test. Then her sister gave her a second test, but she was still positive. She could not afford the third test, and so opted to do the PCR test at a pharmacy, which is free. But the results take 3 days. Unfortunately, the results took 6 days. So that was an additional week of work that she couldn't go to work and make income because she couldn't afford that $20 test.
The poorer your zip code, the worse your schools are. But it gets even worse. You are 5 times more likely to drop out of school the poorer your neighborhood. You must be thinking, surely there are some parts of life that money doesn't play an impact. What about love? A worldwide study looked at how much impact your income can have on the attention you get online. After all, this is where most people do their dating and mating now. And surprise, surprise, the more money and education you have, the greater interest you will generate online. Valentine's Day is around the corner. And I think I speak for most men when I say, your Valentine's Day is probably going to go a lot better if you spend some money. But the sad part is, before you can even begin to worry about your health, your education, and love, you need to have a roof over your head. And what if you find yourself without a home? And maybe you're thinking, well, I could just camp on quote unquote public ground, you know, the land that belongs to all of us, and think you can just, you know, clean up after yourself. At least it's public ground. Well, in places like Austin, that will cost you $500. In Missouri, it'll cost you $750 or 15 days in jail just for the crime of being so poor you're sleeping under the bridge or in a public park.
New at 5, it will soon be illegal for homeless people in Tennessee to camp in parks. That law also includes property owned by local governments. It makes the offense a Class E felony. Now, the bill became law without Governor Bill Lee's signature. It's already illegal for homeless people to sleep or camp on state-owned property. Violators can face jail time, a $3,000 fine, and the loss of voting rights.
You are 11 times more likely to go to jail when you are homeless versus when you have a roof over your head. Loitering, I mean, the reason is obvious. Loitering is illegal. They close the public restrooms at night, but urinating outside is not only embarrassing, it's also a crime. They would put you in jail. Just being homeless is a crime in most of these United States. American society is organized to encourage you to make some money, and it will punish you if you even think about opting out of our moneyed system. There's a Warren Buffett quote that I like, which he says, I'm gonna paraphrase, that if a police officer follows you for long enough, if he just tells you for long enough, he can issue you a ticket. And what he means is, you know, we don't think about speeding or not coming to a complete stop as a crime. If you make, you know, decent money, all it is, it's an inconvenience. Somebody gives you a ticket and you're like, oh, it ruins your day for a little bit. You pay the ticket, you're on your way. Not if you are poor. Let me introduce you to Vera Cheeks. She's from Georgia. She was pulled over for, you know, rolling a stop sign. She gets the ticket, she shows up to court, and the judge says it's a $135 fine due immediately. She tells the judge, you know, she has a terminally ill parent she's caring for, so she doesn't have the money and doesn't want to go to jail. So they put her on a payment plan. The $135 fine becomes $267, $105 for a for-profit probation company, and another $27 to the state of Georgia. If she can't pay, she goes to jail for the crime of not having money. We think about tickets and fines as nuisances that you can even budget for. But when you consider there are many counties like Calverton in Missouri who get as much as 66% of its revenue from court fines, the penalty for being poor is not just a nuisance, it's a threat to your freedom. Freedom definitely ain't free. Money is our religion. And to survive, to breathe, to love, to eat, you must get your hands on some money. You do not need to be rich, but being poor is bad for your breathing, for your health, and for your freedom. I do not mean to make you mad or sad. I just want to point out the reality. My job is to look outside the window and tell you it is raining. And so if being poor is a crime, now what? Join us next time on Amos Talks the Dollar.